Let's turn our Bibles to Luke chapter 11. If you need a Bible, you can raise your hand and one of our ushers will make sure you get one. Let's turn to Luke chapter 11. As you're looking for Luke 11, I just want to piggyback a little bit on the announcement that was given earlier about the one. This is we're actually going to incorporate this in our early morning prayers. And so starting this Wednesday, we're going to be going through the book instead of me teaching out of the Bible. And it starts this Wednesday. This Wednesday is what's called Ash Wednesday. And how many of you guys know what Ash Wednesday is? I'm just curious. Wow, we got two people. Oh, okay, there's a few. Well, you guys don't really count because you're not part of our church, as I think. Don't take that offensively. So that means that Solomon's Porch, there's one person who knows what Ash Wednesday is. Dude, I should be fired or something, you know. Ash Wednesday is the commemoration of the run-up to Easter and what the Christian calendar calls Lent. And what Ash Wednesday represents is actually the day that starts the repentance. And what's meant is as we go towards Easter, right, go towards Resurrection Sunday and Good Friday and all these things, that, you know, the early Christians felt that it required preparation for the church to come to that place. And so they prepared with, you know, 40 days of fasting, basically, you know, but more so with 40 days of repentance. And what's meant by that is they would take ash, and what they would do is they would have, you know, on Palm Sunday, which is the Sunday before Easter, if you remember, the people laid their palms and said, "Hosanna, Hosanna," right? You know, and they worshiped Jesus. And so, but then the week later, they said, "Crucify him, crucify him." And it represented the fickleness of our hearts, you know, that we can worship God on Sunday and then go to work on Monday and live like the devil. Amen? You shouldn't say amen because that should be, no, that's not me, you know. And so, but you know, but that's the fickleness of our hearts, right? You know, in one moment we worship God, the next moment we curse God. And so it represented that. And so what they would do is they would take the palm, and the priest would actually take the palms that you know, as a commemoration of that fickleness, they would take the palm and they'd make it into a cross. And from that day, they would actually hang the cross in your room, you know, and you basically look at that cross the whole year until you got to Ash Wednesday. Ash Wednesday, you take that palm, that cross made out of the palm, and you would burn it, right? And the ashes represented our repentance, our sorrow, you know, for what we had done. And they would burn that cross, that, you know, and make it into ash, and place the ash on our forehead, which is a sign of I'm stepping in now into my repentance. And then they would spend the 40-odd days, you know, going towards, you know, Easter, really preparing our hearts before the Lord. And so, you know, the pastors here in Hong Kong, you know, and these are primarily all the international church pastors, you know, they decided that we want to do something together, and they thought the best way is to commemorate Lent, which in our tradition, we don't even have a tradition, you know, and stuff. But, you know, in a lot of the churches, if you grew up Anglican or you grew up Catholic or, you know, or Episcopalian, kind of more of a high church, you know, this would be very, you know, common to you. You probably understand, you know, what I'm talking about here. And so this coming Wednesday, we're going to be going through the book. And, you know, in every church calendar, there's specific verses that kind of lead towards, and the whole idea is it prepares us for the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, how many here need to be prepared for the resurrection, right? I mean, I'll raise two hands, you know, for myself and stuff. And so that's what we're going to do. And so please come out, you know, in the morning. We'll go through the book. Please take a book with you. It's free, right? You know, the church has paid the costs of the publishing. I know some other churches are actually charging, right? But, you know, for us, it's free. But just take one, okay? And so make sure that we have enough for everyone. If you want to take more than one, you know, just talk to someone in the pastoral staff, and we can kind of try to make some arrangements for you to be able to do that. Amen? Okay. Luke chapter 11. Let's read from verse 1. Luke 11, 1. "And it came about that while he was praying in a certain place, and after he had finished, one of his disciples said to him, 'Lord, teach us to pray, just as John also taught his disciples.'" Let's pray together. Father, we thank you, God, and we are and have been so incredibly blessed, God, through the worship, God, through the testimony, Lord. And now we come humbly to your word, God, and we ask that you would teach us, Lord. Now, to that end, we ask you to release the revelatory ministry of the Holy Spirit in this room. Lord, give us an ear to hear and a heart to receive what the Spirit is saying to each one of us individually and corporately as a body. God, I humble myself today, God, and I ask that you use me, Lord, to preach your prophetic word with power and authority. God, we thank you for this time, God. Come and change us, God, through the preaching of your word. We bless you, Lord. And in Jesus' name, all God's people said, amen. Amen. So we're continuing our series on prayer. And the last few weeks, Pastor Eugene and myself, we've been teaching, you know, out of Matthew 7. And so, you know, with the idea of what is prayer. I could have probably gone on for about two more sermons. But I thought, you know what, let's just leave it there. And maybe if we have time at the end of the year, we can go back a little bit. But I'm getting to really, if you think about it, the real meat of our theme. You know, and we know our theme 2012 is Lord, teach us to pray. And I really do encourage you to come out this coming weekend with Pastor Min Chung as he'll be elaborating, right, on prayer and the ministry of prayer for us. And but in Luke 11 is the heart of what we're trying to say. The disciples came to Jesus, Lord, teach us how to pray. Right, and that's our heart, right, this year. A part of that, now we're getting into, like I said, the meat, which is, well, Lord, you know, why should we pray? This is huge. We're going to take this in for about another four or five messages. You know, today I'm going to start very, very slow, okay? And so if you came for a brilliant theological explanation next week, okay? This week, we're going to start really basic. You know, I've been told that, you know, sometimes I'm going over people's head, right? And so, you know, we have a lot of new people at church and whatnot, so I decided I'm going to slow down a little bit, right? I'm not going to, you know, throw all these, you know, things at you at once, but I'm going to start very slow in each of the different things that we teach on, very slow, but we're going to keep building up. You know, and so by the end of the series, you know, your head's going to be so full of stuff, right? And hopefully your hearts will be moved and changed as well. And so we're going to talk about, well, why do we pray? Why should we pray? You know, the theory goes, well, if God is sovereign, if God is almighty, why does he need little old me? Why does he need my prayers? If he needs my prayers, doesn't that make God kind of small? You know, if he's this big creator of the universe, but yet he needs my prayers. In fact, does he need my prayers? If he already knows, you know, what we need before we even ask him, why should we even ask? He already knows, right? That's coming up later on, but we're going to go simple, okay? And so we learn to pray, right, even at a very, very young age, you know, and if you have young kids, you know, this is some of the most hilarious times are hearing our kids pray, you know, about many, you know, kind of different things. I found this on the internet. These are some famous prayers of children, okay? This one girl, Debbie, 7 years old, prays this. Dear God, please send a new baby for mommy. The new baby you sent last week cries too much. These are actual prayers of kids, okay? This is Angela, who's 8 years old, said this. Dear God, this is my prayer. Could you please give me my brother some brains? So far, he doesn't have any. Right, Hank at 7 asks this, Dear Lord, thank you for the nice day today. You even fooled the TV weatherman. Agnes, 6 years old, says this, Dear God, please bring me a new brother. The one I got socks me all the time. Right, David, 7 years old, says this, Dear God, I need a raise in my allowance. Could you have one of your angels tell my father? You know, and this is probably the sweetest one. Susan, 9 years old, prays this, says, Dear Lord, tomorrow is my birthday. Could you please put a rainbow in the sky for me? Right? Yeah, I know. That's very touching. But, you know, we all very much instinctively pray. You know, I'm sure that if I polled our, you know, parents here, you know, we'd have some hilarious prayers of our kids and whatnot. But prayer has been very much a part of our lives, you know, and some of us don't even know it. Prayer has been the driving force of many great men and women throughout history. Abraham Lincoln had this very famous quote, and he says, I have been driven many times to my knees by the overwhelming conviction that I had nowhere else to go. My own wisdom and that of all about me seemed insufficient for the day. And he wrote this in the midst of the Civil War that was going on in the United States during this time when he was trying to, you know, eradicate slavery. Right? And you know, you read quotes like this and you recognize, wow, no wonder these men were great. They prayed. They prayed. You know, so we come to this place, well, why should we pray, right? Like I said, if God already knows what we need before we ask him, then what's the point? You know, what is the motivation that I have? God is so big, surely he doesn't need me. You know, surely my words that I utter don't make that much of a difference. And so why should we pray? And so today I have 8 points, okay, and we're going to run through them. During this time, again, this is very basic, very simple. We'll get into more meatier theological stuff as we continue on, right? But why do we pray? Number one, we pray, or why we should pray, is because number one, because God asks us to. Because God asks us to. In Luke 18, you know, you don't have to turn there, but in verse 1, you know, we read this last week. It says, now he was telling them a parable to show that at all times they ought to pray and not lose heart. When should the church pray? Sometimes? All right, let's try this one more time, okay? Come on, I know you guys are college educated and everything, right? Should we, the church, pray sometimes? We should pray
all the time.
Thank you. Good job, right? We should pray all the time, right? Prayer here is an imperative. Jesus, right, he just assumed that the church of God would pray. He's talking to his disciples, he's laying out, and he just assumed that this would be a part of our life. Just like eating and drinking, right, that prayer would be our lives. You know, we're commanded to pray. Matthew 26, 41, right, Jesus says, keep watching and praying that you may not enter into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? He consistently, continually tells the church about prayer. Philippians chapter 4, verse 6 and 7. Right? You should memorize this passage by now. Right? Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer, right, and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Right, and he says here, right, that, you know, don't be anxious, whatever's going on, but pray, right? And the word is, but in everything, in something, everything, okay? In everything, pray. I know I'm treating you guys like kindergartners, but, right, we need to get this. You know, he says, don't be anxious, but in everything, pray, right? Whatever is going on in our lives, we pray because he asks us to. Right? Well, God will give us what we really need when we really ask. Right? He just simply asks us to pray. For some of us, prayer, right? The simple act of prayer is a simple act of obedience. It's a simple act of obedience. You know, there's something, you know, for many of us that have kids, you know, we get into these situations like this morning. Actually, my kids didn't come to church today. If you pray for Emma, she kind of lightly sprained her wrist yesterday, you know, running at Playtown. She tripped and, you know, I didn't see it, but she landed on her wrist. And so we took her to the doctor and everything. So, you know, so she stayed home. And so she stays home, then at least stays home, right? And so if they stay home, my wife has to stay home, you know, the whole thing goes. And so this morning, you know, because now they were not coming to church. And, you know, and so my wife simply asked Elise, can you go change your clothes? And she asked, why? Why do I need to change my clothes? You know, I'm not going out. I'm staying home. You know, well, why do I need to do this? You know, it's not necessarily good parenting, you know, but sometimes you just want to say, because I told you, man, right? Because I said so, you know, and so because I'm the parent and you're not, you know, kind of thing. Obviously, that's not the best parenting method, you know, but that seems to be the parenting method that we choose many times, you know, to operate in. But it's this idea of, well, you just do it because I'm dad, and mom and dad, and because we asked you to, you know. And, you know, and the best thing is, you know, when they say, good reason, okay, I'm going to do it. But we know that doesn't usually happen that way, right? But in the same way, you know, and I don't want to make this sound negative or anything like that, but we pray because God asks us to, you know. And it's not, you know, in our economy, it's not like, God's not like us, right? We're not trying to put some power trip or, you know, make people do something that we want them to do Because God knows that prayer ultimately is good for us, right? Prayer changes us, and we'll get into that a little bit later on, right? And so we pray because he asks us to. You know, the amazing thing here, and I talked about it last week a little bit through this Philippians passage. You know, he says here that if you're anxious about something, that you could pray, and that what God, you know, notice very carefully in the text in Philippians 4. God doesn't necessarily say that he's going to answer your prayer. Okay? Read that in the text. But what God promises you is peace. Right? It's the shalom of God. Now, the great thing is, I want to actually suggest to you that that is actually why you're praying in the first place. I talked about this a little bit last week, right? Some of us were praying, God, I want to be married. Why? Because I want to be happy, you know, et cetera, et cetera. You know, all these things. I want to suggest to you that what you're really after is this peace. You want calmness. You want, and the peace, the biblical idea of peace is, does not mean the absence of war, right? That's why the UN will never understand it, right? They'll never really understand peace. Because, oh, don't do this. That's not how peace operates. Peace is the government of God coming down to earth, right? Peace is the realm of heaven that comes. Peace, shalom, is every area of our life comes into the fullness of God, right? I mean, that's really what salvation means. Salvation is not just our eternal soul. Salvation means every part of who we are comes into alignment with God, and his presence comes down with it. And so when we talk about, you know, while we're asking God certain things, you know, and he says, this is what I'm going to promise you. I don't know if the prayer is going to be answered, but I'm going to promise you this. You're going to have peace. You know, and if you really, I mean, if you really sit down and just philosophically think about that, that's precisely what you want in the question that you're asking God and the request that you're asking him. I want someone to be healed. Why? Because I want them to be at peace. Right? I mean, when you sit down and you just nail it down, you realize, you know what, God? You're giving me exactly what I need. That you always promised me, the peace. Right? Regardless if the prayer is answered or not. I mean, isn't that a great transaction? Isn't that a great deal? Right? Regardless if it's answered or not, you still get what you really, really need. I think that's tremendous, right? And so we pray because he asks us to. Why else do we pray? Number two, we pray that God, because God intends prayer to be the means of obtaining his solutions in a number of situations. I'll just read that again, right? We pray because God intends prayer to be the means of obtaining his solutions in a number of situations. James 4:2, this is one of my life verses. James 4:2, you do not have because you do not ask, right? I tell you what, man, I don't ever want to get into a situation, right? You know, I die, I go to heaven, you know, and I say, Lord, how come I didn't have this? He says, you didn't ask, right? It's like, oh, God, that hurts, you know? One of the things that my wife, this is way back when I was still kind of pursuing her, you know, and she relented to go on a date with me, and so we actually went to a movie, you know, together, and we're watching a movie, and, you know, she liked this about me, and this kind of, like, unabashedness, you know, and during this time, we went to this movie theater, and we're watching this movie, and the movie was horrible, and so I turned to Lisa and says, hey, you don't want to watch this movie, do you? She goes, no, let's get out of here. I said, let's go ask for a refund, you know, and she's like, what? She's like, I've never heard of this in my life, you know? What do you mean, refund? We're like, we've been in there 30 minutes. You know, we can't ask for a refund. I said, yeah, let's just ask. So I went to the front, I got the manager, says, hey, this movie sucks, man. Can we get a refund? And he goes, sure. Gave us a refund, right? And then I walked out of the movie theater, I'm the man, you know? Did my little strut, and then Lisa's like, yeah, he's the man, you know? I mean, it was a pretty good, but it's this heart, right? He says, you do not have because you do not ask. Just ask. Just ask. You know, I always say it never hurts to ask. You know what I mean? It never, you know, what's the worst thing they can say is no. Okay, big deal. Right? I know people are really afraid of rejection, right? Listen, it's not such a bad thing. It's not such a bad thing. I'll be honest, right? I respect guys. Right, I just intuitively, I respect guys that are not afraid of rejection. Right, I mean, there's just something about that. It's like, you know, if you really, what's the worst thing someone could say? No. Is that the end of the world? Of course not. Right, but maybe because we're so prideful, you know, that the rejection really hits us, you know. Guys, you know, ask somebody out. What's the worst they can say? No? Okay. Right? Last time I counted, there are billions of people on this planet. Right? You can just go find somebody else. It's really that simple. Just ask. You know, it's not a big thing, right? You do not have because you do not ask. Right? This is cool. Thomas Watson, he said this, the angel fetched Peter out of prison, but it was prayer that fetched the angel. Right? You got to ask. Right? You got to ask. Things need to happen. These are some of the things that God means, right? God does in his solutions. We pray in preparation for major decisions. Right? This is Luke chapter 6, 12 and 13. It says, Jesus prayed all night long, right? And it's all, he prayed all night long. And then when he got up, he chose the 12 apostles. I mean, can you imagine if there was any much of a bigger decision, right, that Jesus had to make? You know, here it was, he had 3 years to mold a small army of people that will take the message, the gospel that God has entrusted him with, right, and spread it all over the world for all time. You know, Jesus was not just thinking about here right now. That's why when you read the Gospels and when you read Paul's epistles, you have to have the mindset of he's writing to the church in Rome, but he's also writing to everybody else, right? Because it's not just a one-time thing, even though we can understand context through that, right? But he's writing to people all throughout the ages, you know? And so he's got to choose 12 people, you know, by which he's going to carry this message through. And so he spends all night in prayer. Do you have a big decision that you need to make? Is there a major thing that's in your life right now where you have to choose left or right, or, you know, Hong Kong, Singapore, or, you know, UBS or JP Morgan, you know what I mean? Or, you know, do I go home? Do I teach? You know, I mean, all there's major decisions, all right? Or is it him? You know, or is it that other person? You know, I mean, there's so many decisions in our life. You know, you need to pray. Jesus, right, God in his economy, he sets forth prayer by means, which is the vehicle by which he brings his solutions to us. Right? Prayer is really the train by which his answers come into our lives. And so when you have major decisions, right, in preparation for major decisions, pray. Jesus prayed all night long, and then he chose his apostles. Then he chose the ones that would carry forth his message. Right. We also, you know, other solutions in situations that come, we pray to overcome demonic barriers. You know, in Matthew chapter 17, verse 14 to 21, after the transfiguration, right, the disciples, you know, came to him because there was this, you know, this boy that they couldn't cast this demon out of. You know, and Jesus simply replied, man, you guys need some faith. But on top of that, he says, this kind only comes out by prayer and fasting. Right? Are you in a situation right now where it's a place of spiritual warfare? Like, you feel it, you know it. There's something going on that is just, you know, mesmerizing in the natural. Like, this should not happen. You know, or this is so uncanny that this would happen in this way or whatnot. Right? And so you recognize, you know, that there's an enemy at work. You know, a devil that prowls like a roaring lion seeking to devour. You know, and, I went on safari this past week, right? We saw these animals, and man, I tell you, there was one moment, right, that, man, I got scared. And it was the first time we actually saw a lion, you know, and we were looking around, and we finally saw a lion, right? And the lions, actually, during the daytime, kind of lazy animals, right? I'll just be honest, you know, they kind of sleep most of the time. But, you know, the driver drove, like, right next to the lion, whereas, like, you know, I mean, it's probably from the end of the stage, and where I was in the truck, the lion was right there. And I was snapping pictures away, and I was thinking, I hope this guy doesn't eat me, you know, and just keep snapping away. And all of a sudden, the lion just got up really quick, right? And my heart just raced, man. I couldn't believe that, you know. And the whole time, you know, I was actually asking God for revelation, you know. not about not being eaten, but just, you know, more in the sense that, because I'm a pastor, right? And so, you know, I spiritualize everything. And so, you know, I was there and says, okay, God, teach me something about this trip, you know, like about these animals, you know. And I actually got just tons of really cool things that God was speaking to me about. But that verse came to mind, the devil prowls like a roaring lion, you know. And you see them, and they're trying to hunt some wildebeest, you know, and whatnot. And I actually really wanted to see a kill, but, you know, I guess it's very rare. I mean, I wanted to see like a lion pounce on something, and but you could see them, and it just the sleekness of their body, you know, and the way they're moved and poised, and I'm like, wow, that's what the Lord meant. I mean, these guys are ready to pounce at any moment and anything that moves. You know, they're waiting for something. That's what the devil's like, right? He's looking, he's prowling. You know, he's hungry. These lions, they're hungry. You know, they want to eat something. The enemy wants to eat us, right? And so, you know, is there a situation in your life where there's warfare? You know, is there something going on, you know, that you know, I mean, just in the natural, it just doesn't make sense. Like, we, this should not be happening right now. You know, or you know, I pray this morning for one of our church members' moms who all of a sudden just had a pain out of nowhere. You know, that should not be happening. There's no reason why something like that should happen. Recognize the enemies at work, right? And so how do we combat, right, these demonic barriers in our lives? By praying. Right? God intends prayer to be the means of obtaining his solutions in a number of situations. How about another situation, right? We pray to gather workers for the spiritual harvest. You know, you're praying for somebody, you know, or you want someone to be saved. You know what you got to do? You got to pray, right? You got to pray for God to bring opportunities, that God bring workers, that God bring laborers, that God bring the message, that God brings opportunity, right? These things happen in prayer. We also pray in another situation as we pray to gain strength to overcome temptation. You know, we read just before, right, Matthew 26:41. Sorry, the one before that was the spiritual harvest was Luke 10:2. But Matthew 26:41, he says, hey, you need to pray so you don't go into temptation. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Right? And so when we're in this place of overcoming temptation, or when there's something in our way and you know that we shouldn't go that path, you know, something happens and we know that we shouldn't venture off that alley, you know, how do we overcome temptation? You pray. You know, the spirit is willing, the flesh is weak, so we pray. Right? Maybe, I mean, some of us, we may have certain kind of addictions or certain kinds of weaknesses, you know, that you know, like a proclivity towards certain things that we need to be aware of. You know, and so when those temptations come our way, we need to pray. Right? God has brought the remedy for us, and it comes through prayer. That's why we pray. Another part, right? We in other situations, we pray to obtain the means of strengthening others spiritually. Ephesians 6:18-19, right? Paul tells us to pray at all times in the Spirit. You know, and especially that he would have boldness to be able to preach. You know, and so, you know, we were reminded that when we talk about, you know, strengthening ourselves spiritually or strengthening others spiritually, right, the vehicle is through prayer. Pray at all times in the Spirit before the Lord, right? So number one, we pray because God asks us to. Number two, we pray because God intends prayer to be the means of obtaining his solutions in a number of situations. Number three, we pray because there is joy in prayer. There is joy in prayer. John 16:24, until now you have not asked for anything in my name. Ask and you receive, that your joy may be made full. Right, that your joy may be made full. There's joy in prayer. You know, and sometimes, you know, just the knowledge that God cares for us and answers us is more precious than the answers itself. Isn't that right? You know, sometimes we're in a situation, you know, and I've had this many, many times in my life where, you know, I pray for something, but it was more just the fact that you kind of sit there and you think, I can't believe, God, that you care for me so much, that you would answer me in this way, right? And you just get so filled with joy. You know, I shared this story a long, long time ago. Many years ago, before I became a Christian, I was in a relationship with a girl. Can you believe it? We went out for 7 years, right? That's longer than most of you guys' marriages here, right? You know, I mean, I dated this girl for 7 years. She was my high school sweetheart, you know, we dated all throughout. And then I got saved. You know, so I met Jesus, and so the relationship didn't quite work anymore. But, I mean, I genuinely love this girl, and this girl genuinely loved me, and our parents are all involved, and, you know, and whatnot. And so I was challenged one day. I was at school, and I was sitting in my it's a long story, but I'll try to keep it short. I was sitting in my car because an event that I came to was canceled. And my friend was, you know, came in and we just started talking. And he was kind of discipling me, you know, because I just got saved, you know, just maybe like 4 months before that. You know, I'm learning all these things and whatnot. And it was obvious that this relationship was not working, right? And so, but because I really loved this girl, you know, I couldn't break up with her. It was just kind of I just couldn't do it. And I just tried to make it work. But, you know, our values were so different, and our lifestyles now and all these things. And so, you know, my friend turned to me and he simply said, "What's it going to take?" You know, like you know, he's talking to me about these things. And so I sat there and I said, "Well, if this is what God wants, this is what I want." And I basically laid out a few things, you know, and we were talking about like fleeces, you know. Remember in Gideon lays out these fleeces. And so I said, number one, that she actually needs to break up with me. I'm not going to break up with her, right? You know, I'm a nice guy. I don't break hearts, right? And stuff. And so, you know, she needs to break up with me. Number two, it needs to be her initiative. Number three, she can't cry or become emotional, right? You know, that's huge because, you know, like most guys, when girls cry in front of guys, it's end of the game, right? You want my car? Go ahead. Just stop crying, please, right? You know, I mean, we'll do anything to prevent someone from crying. And so, you know, so I laid these things out, you know, before the Lord. And so, you know, he says, okay, let's pray. And so we prayed. And, you know, and I was thinking like, okay, maybe like 10 years from now, God's going to answer my prayers. I go back home that day, and I was so tired, I actually took a nap, you know, and I tried to call her first, and she wasn't there, so I just left a message, you know, on a voicemail. Came, you know, woke up, she called me on the phone, and I woke up from my nap, I started talking to her, and we just having this conversation all out of the blue. I'm talking, this is about 2 hours after I had prayed that prayer in my car. She calls me up, and we start talking, and all of a sudden she says, you know, things are different now, aren't they? I was like, yeah, things are a bit different. We're kind of going on two different paths. Yeah, we're kind of going on two different paths. You know, and she's like, you know what? Maybe we should just go on two different paths. She broke up with me, right? It was her initiative. She didn't cry. You know, and I tell you, like, I hung up from the phone, and I was just sitting there. I was so happy. And this wasn't a bad relationship. It wasn't a kind of a destructive relationship. I know it was fairly healthy. You know, a few things were a little unhealthy, you know, but, excuse me. And so, but then in the midst of this, it wasn't about breaking up with this girl for 7 years. I was so incredibly happy that God cared enough about me to answer this simple prayer. You know, right then, my friend who was praying for me in the car, he's a really real prophetic guy. He called me on the phone, you know, or I'm sorry, I called him on the phone. And he wasn't there either, so I left a message. And I said, can you believe it? It happened. She broke up with me. All these things, all these fleeces that I laid out. God did it. This is amazing. No, 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 right? I mean, there was no sadness in me over this 7-year relationship. You know, and I was just so excited. And then, you know, so then he calls me back and he says this. He says, go write in a journal. And so I got a journal out and I was writing this, all this testimony, all these things out. And then this is the kicker, right? And then I had this moment and it was kind of like, oh crap, God is real. And it was kind of like, God, you're so real. Now I have to give everything to you. And I dropped the pen. You know, one of those moments like, oh no, like, what did I get myself into, you know? And it was literally, it was like, oh my goodness, now I have to give everything to God. God is real. This ain't no joke, man. I mean, he answered my prayer like 2 hours. I mean, this is huge. I never thought this could happen. Supernaturally, and I was like, oh my goodness, you're real. This is I can't believe, oh my gosh, I got to give everything to you now. You know, and as soon as, I kid you not, when I dropped the pen, I started getting really, really afraid. You know, like, oh my gosh, like now I'm going to have to go live in a hut in Africa, you know. Which actually now, being in Africa is not such a bad thing anymore, right? So we better come up with something new, you know, and stuff. And, you know, and it's like, oh my goodness, you know, like my life is over. And then right then, my friend Steve calls me back on the phone. And he starts yelling at me. He goes, Sam, What did you do to get in this mess? What did you do? And I said, take it easy, man. Why are you yelling at me? You know? I said, what did you do? And I said, I didn't do anything. And he says, that's right. You didn't do anything. God did everything. So just relax. You know? I told you, he's a prophetic guy. He was actually praying for me, you know, after I got off the phone with him while I was journaling. The Lord spoke to him and says, call Sam. He needs some encouragement right now, right? Because he's scared. But it was just that simple thing. What did you do? I mean, I look about it. What did I do? I didn't do anything. I just said, Lord, please let 1, 2, 3 happen. You know, I beg of you, right? That's all I did. And God did everything else. So why should I be afraid? Do you know what I mean? You know, now that God is real and all, why should I be afraid? Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. Right? You know, I mean, you know, I forgot who said this. One guy says, you know, man does not fear when he knows that his God is omnipotent, when his God is huge. Right? And so I picked the pen back up and I started writing and I gave my all to the Lord. Major, major shift occurred in my life right then. Right? You know, it's the joy of God answering our prayers. Right? It's just joy of saying, God, wow. You really know me. You really understand me. You really love me. You know, you know that you know, there will be a time when, you know, where you do a great thing, and I'm just going to doubt you the first moment that it hits. And then yet God sends a messenger to ease the doubts. Wow. You really love me, God. You're so awesome. Right? There's joy when we pray. God releases that joy to us in that way. Number four, prayer will save you out of all your troubles. Psalm 34, verse 6. Psalm 34, 6. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. Right? Are you going through some things in your life right now? Right? It's not as going as smoothly as you would like. Pray, pray. Look at this. This poor man cried and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all of his troubles. God is gracious. God will always be gracious to us. Number five, prayer. Well, why do we pray? We pray because prayer can unlock the treasure chest of God's wisdom. Right? Prayer can unlock the treasure chest of God's wisdom. James 1:5. But if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him. Right? Any of you lacks wisdom, right? So, yes, that's me, God. I lack wisdom. James says, ask, and he'll give to you wisdom from on high. You know, I tell you, right? I'm not trying to be humble, anything like that. I'm just being honest, right? There are moments in my life where I face a situation. You know, and you know, it's like you're between a rock and a hard place. You know, you've ever had these moments, and you don't know what to do. And if you do this, you're going to hurt these people. And if you do that, you're going to hurt some other people. You know, and you're trying to figure out, you know, the situations. And at those moments, man, I just go before the Lord. I ask, Lord, give me your wisdom. And God just, it's just like this light that comes on in your mind. And just God just gives you the perfect solution to the situation. You know, it's happened so many times in my life. I can't explain it, you know, because I'm not a smart guy. I know myself, you know, and stuff. But man, there's when you know, regardless of our intelligence or whatnot, God will bring that wisdom to us, and it just be like just this perfect thing. And you know how I know is then I'll share with people because we're in a situation. They're like, oh, yeah, woohoo, that's good. Where'd you come up with that? You know, it's the Lord. Right, he says, if you lack wisdom, to ask him. You know, I mean, it's amazing how many moments you'll have like that in your life if you just simply ask him, right? The text, right? If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men generously without reproach, and it will be given to him. Such a simple thing. I'm telling you, you know, I mean, I had a moment just a little while ago, right? And it just, you know, you sit there and you just... I mean, you just have to sit and just marvel, not at your wisdom, but just at the goodness of God. You're like, God, that's brilliant, Right? I mean, the Bible is true, right? The, you know, the wisdom of man is the foolishness of God. It doesn't even reach the foolishness of God. Right? And it'll just give you that wisdom, exactly what you need in the moment that you need it. Right? And he's so gracious to do that. Right? And so why do we pray? We pray because it unlocks the wisdom of God in our lives. You know? Is there a situation right now that you're in? Right, that's, you know, it's like between a rock and a hard place. You know, if you go this way, you might hurt these people. If you go that way, you might hurt some other people, or you know, all these things. Hey, just stop. Just ask God for that wisdom. He gives it to us. He promises that to us. That's who He is. Right, so prayer can unlock right the treasure chest of God's wisdom. Number six. Why do we pray? Because prayer is a channel of power. It's a channel of power. Jeremiah chapter 33, verse 3 says this, "Call to me and I will answer you. I'll tell you great and mighty things which you do not know." Right? He says, come pray to me. Man, I'm going to tell you some amazing things. I'm going to release some amazing things in your life. Acts chapter 4, this one I really like. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And it says, this is when the apostles gathered together and prayed. And it says in verse 31, it says, "And when they had prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak the word of God with boldness." With boldness. They asked God for boldness, right? And God just shook the place that they were at, and He gave them everything they needed to succeed. Prayer is a channel of power. You pray, and God will enable you, right, to step into something. This is what I say. When we pray, we tap into God's power. That's what happens. We tap into God's power. We transition from our strength to His strength. Right? Isn't that amazing? You know, this is how it works. I know I used to do this. I know it's a bit corny, right? But think of it this way, right? This is the easiest way to understand. When we pray, right, it's like a switch, you know? And so, okay, let's have some fun today. Why don't you just put your hands like this, okay? Fingers like this. This is UK Hong Kong plug, right? If you're American, you can do this. If you're Korean, you can do this. You know, it doesn't matter, right? But Hong Kong plug, right? When we pray, it's like plugging in to heaven. All right, go ahead. Let's plug in, right? Paul Marriott, what is that, man? This is, yeah, okay. I don't know what country that's from, right? We take this, right, and we just plug in. When we pray, just picture it. You can put your hands down now. I know you look ridiculous, right? Just think of this. When we pray, right, it's like we're tapping in into heaven, into God's power. When we pray, we go from my strength, our strength, and we tap in to God's strength, right? You know, and a lot of times, you know, I mean, I talked about it last week. A lot of times that's precisely the only times we do pray, as we come to the end of our strength. But wouldn't it be great if we just came to the Lord, just period? You know, it wasn't like last resort, but we came to God first resort, all right? Because it's really Him and only Him that has the answers anyway. All right, prayer is a channel of power, right? These guys, the apostles, they prayed, boom, and God brought His power. You know, we have the well. So after the service today, you can come up and get prayed for healing. People pray and bam, power gets released. It's just an amazing thing, right? Number seven, sinners. We pray because sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. Sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. Romans 10, 13 and 14. "For whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved. How then shall they call upon Him whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in Him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" Right? "But whoever will call upon the name of the Lord will be saved." You pray to the Lord, you call upon Him for salvation, you'll be saved. Romans 10, 9, verse before that. He says, "If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead," He says, "you shall be saved." What's the confessing with our mouth? That's prayer. And it says, if you do that, you'll be saved. Right? Why do we pray? Because sinners can be saved when they pray in faith. Every single one of you, as a follower of Jesus, the Lord Jesus Christ, right? That you went from death into life, and the transaction that happened there was the medium of prayer. The prayers that you prayed was the vehicle by which your faith was established in the Lord. Right? That's how it works. Right? And the last one, number eight, why do we pray? And I just want to spend a little bit of time on this one, right? Because this is the real meat. Why do we pray? Because the Bible says it is a sin not to pray. It is a sin not to pray. 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 23. This is what Samuel says. Samuel says, "Moreover for me, far be it from me that I should sin against the Lord by not praying or by ceasing to pray for you, but I will instruct you in a good and right way." Samuel says, no, I will not sin against the Lord by not praying for you. Listen, prayerlessness is sin, right? I want you to turn to your other neighbor, say, hey, good looking. Prayerlessness is sin. See? Sometimes we have this idea that prayer is something that mature Christians do or people that are desperate or whatnot. No, prayer is what every believer does. And listen, if you don't pray, the Bible calls it a sin. You know, that's revelation for some of you guys here, right? You know, when we don't pray, God calls that a sin, right? And so if you don't pray, you know, that means you need to repent. Right, just like you're repenting for if you stole something or you lied to someone, or you did something that way, in the same way, right, that we repent for those things. In other words, those things keep us away from God, right? You know, it's not that God moves, but we've moved now and things. And so we need to pray and in other words, to get our relationship restored, we need to ask God to forgive us. We need to repent. Prayerlessness is sin. See, a lack of prayer demonstrates a lack of faith in God. I'll say it again. A lack of prayer demonstrates a lack of faith in God. A lack of a consistent prayer life, right, represents self-sufficiency. You know how that plays out? You know what I mean by self-sufficiency, right? The key is a lot of times we don't pray. You know why? Because we think we can do it ourselves. It's self-sufficiency. It's a life that's focused on self. That was the original sin, right? That is the beginning of demonic warfare, right? In the world, in our lives, self, you know, a life filled with self. And when we don't pray, that's basically saying, God, I can actually do this on my own. I don't really need you right now, right? But when we pray, right, it represents our faith. It represents our dependency on God. It says, Lord, I can't do this on my own. And so we pray. And I remember the early times I really recognized this. You know, when I first started preaching, I didn't know what I was doing, right? I mean, you know, I know what I'm doing a little bit now, right? Just a little bit. But back in the days, I didn't know what I was doing. I only had a few mentors, and they just screamed, right? And so I figured if you just scream, that's effective preaching. You know, and I kid you not, I would just scream the whole time. Right? I would scare the dickens out of kids because, you know, I was a little bigger back then, you know, and you know, I just had veins popping from my neck and my forehead and my face would get all red and, you know, and I was in fairly good shape so I could speak long sentences without breathing, you know. And so then I just, you know, repent, you know, and these things, I would just scare people all the time. And I thought that was good preaching, you know. And so when I first started, the first time I ever preached, I got asked to give my testimony at a church in Los Angeles. And I thought, it's my testimony. I just show up and I just say whatever, you know, and whatnot and things. And so I went to this church. It was a Christian Reformed church, right? A little CRC church. You know, actually it was a big CRC church, but it was a small group of people there. And so I shared my testimony and it was horrible. It was horrible, man. I had the biggest headache, you know, on the way to the church while I was preaching. I had the hugest headache, you know, and back then I didn't normally get headaches that much. You know, so and even verses, like I butchered verses. You know, I mean, I was like talking and they didn't understand a word I was saying. You know, you could tell because people were like falling asleep, you know, and there was only like 10 people there. You know what I mean? And so it was like a small group and like it's something else for, you know, people to sleep right in front of you. You know, it was boring, it was irrelevant. I mean, I was going on 100 tangents, right? And, you know, I was thinking, has anything changed, right? But a lot's changed, you know. And so, you know, and I was doing all these things, and then I decided, you know what? I better start praying before I preach. And I got into the habit, I would fast for 3 days every time I would preach. You know, and so I would sit there, I would just pray, you know, I'd skip meal times, and I'd just go before the Lord, and I just really begin to seek God for the message. After a while, you start getting decent at it, you know, and you realize, hey, you know, you get better, and all of a sudden, the 3 days turn into 1 day, right? All of a sudden, fasting is eliminated from the picture, you know, and then, you know, like, the prayers, right, get really shorter, right, because you realize, I can do this now. You know, in the beginning, it's like, God, give me revelation. God, you gotta tell me what to say. I have no idea what to do. Da, 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 right? And then later on, you just kind of, oh, that's pretty good. Okay, I'll just preach on that, you know? And you get very, very self-sufficient. I'm telling you, because I know what it's like, you know? And I'm presenting this to you in terms of, this is my work, right? And this is how it's displayed in my work. But I wonder, how about in your work? You know, remember the first day you went to work? Like, oh, God, I can't do this. Please help me. Oh, Lord Jesus, you know? All these things, and then after a few years, I got this, man. I got this. You know, you got a problem? Come talk to me about it. You know, and we operate in this self. It doesn't mean that we get more competent. That happens. But it's that heart of dependence. You recognize, Lord, this is not me. This is you. I'm not operating on my strength, God. I need your strength. You know, and it hit me. It probably, I kid you not, probably about 8 or 9 months into my first ministry, right, where it was really dawned on me, you know, that I wasn't praying as much as I used to before, and I could tell the messages were not as powerful in terms of, you know, in terms of the impact, right? You know, the communication was probably better, was more eloquent, but the impact was not there. And I realized, Lord, I'm relying on my own strength. You know, I'm operating this own way. And I had to repent for prayerlessness. I had to repent for my lack of faith. You know, too much faith in myself and too little faith in God, right? That should be flipped around the other way, right? A lot of faith in God and very little faith in myself. A dependence on the Lord. It is a sin. We pray because it is a sin not to pray. Amen? Let's close our eyes today. Trust me, we're going to go a little deeper, okay, and stuff, and you know, we're going to go through the whole systematic theology in a few weeks, and you'll really enjoy it, right? I think God will really speak to you about why we pray, about what it means, you know, the sovereignty of God, the will of man, free will, you know, all these. We're going to wrap all these things together in the next few weeks and talk about these things. But today, you know, I just really want to hit you with one thing, and this issue of prayerlessness. Maybe for some of you didn't realize that was actually a sin. That actually separates you from God. And so I want to just give you a chance today to come before the Lord in repentance. Maybe at this stage in your life right now, that you are more operating out of a self-sufficiency than a God-sufficiency. In other words, you're more focused on yourself instead of on the Lord. You're more dependent on you and your own abilities instead of the Lord. I want to invite you to a prayer time right now. And just simply start off and say, God, I'm sorry. Forgive me for my lack of prayer. I recognize, Lord, that I'm too dependent on myself instead of upon you. So will you change me, Lord? Great thing, he's only a prayer away. So can I encourage you right now to go before the Lord? And if you haven't had a consistent prayer life, ask God to touch you. First, repent so that relationship can be restored. And then ask God to help, to tap in to His power for us. Well, family of God, let's go before the Lord right now. Can I invite you to stand as a church? Would you mind grabbing someone's hand next to you? Go across the aisles. Let's pray. Let's pray for that person on the left and right of you. Let's pray that God would reignite, energize their prayer life. That there would be a spirit of wisdom and revelation that comes down. That we recognize why we're doing what we're doing. And God would teach us really, really, truly to pray. Now can we just pray for one another right now? Let's go before the Lord. Let's sing this as we close our service today. Pray together. Father, we bless you, God. We thank you today, Lord. God, we pray, God, that we will not be anxious about anything, God, but in everything, Lord, with prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, Lord, we're going to make our requests known to you, God. We're going to pray to you, Lord. We're going to draw near to you, God. And we know, Lord, that the peace of God, Lord, your shalom, will guard our heart and mind in Christ Jesus, God. Lord, that peace that goes beyond comprehension, that goes beyond understanding, or that peace that says, I shouldn't have it right now, but I do. Lord, it comes from you. We ask you to release that to us, God, as we pray. Lord, that's our heart. Teach us to pray, God. Draw near to us, Lord. Lord, watch over us this week, God, our coming and our going, God, our waking up, our lying down, God, in our work and our rest. Lord, let that shalom come, Father. We thank you, Lord. We bless you. Now the Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord cause his face to shine upon you, be gracious to you. And the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace, shalom, from this day forever. In the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Why don't you hug your friend next to you and say, thanks for praying for me. All right, I love you in Jesus' name.